Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota and learn about the Memorial Day Challenge event coming up soon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military members will be the first to tell you, our families are the reason we are able to serve. Today, I would like to honor a special member of our military family, our mothers. Mothers play an important role in our lives. They are the first to give us love, as well as strength and courage to persevere when the going gets tough. Mothers teach us at an early age values that fall in line with values we adopt when we join the military. In the Minnesota National Guard, as in all branches, we have mothers who also serve. They are dedicated, hardworking individuals who balance their military lives and their family lives to serve our country. I'd be remiss without mentioning another very special group of mothers, our Gold Star mothers. These mothers have endured a pain most of us will never know. Their children gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. On this Mother's Day, I would like to thank all of our mothers for your support of what we do and your sacrifices while we serve, and it gives us the strength to accomplish our mission.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the immediate past department commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Mick Aguirre. Mick, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thank you for coming back, Tom. I appreciate all your invitations.
Mick, we've had you on the show quite a few times in the last year, but all of a sudden you're the past department commander. What happened?
Well, they got something in the bylaws that said you can't serve two consecutive years in a row. So I can still come back and through the chairs and be commander again, but I just can't do it 2 years in a row. So I was voted out the last convention, and we got a new commander, Robert Sadors from Bemidji.
So you just had your annual convention, and you weren't really voted out. They just voted a new one in, right?
That's correct. I misspoke.
All right, Mick. I just want to go back, and for those listeners that may not have heard us talk in the past, how did you get, when did you join the service?
I joined the service in 1967. I joined the Marine Corps. I graduated high school in June, and I joined the Marine Corps in August of 67.
And you ended up taking a little trip overseas.
Uncle Sam provided me some excursion over to South Vietnam in 1968 and 69.
A little summer vacation with the United States Marine Corps.
Yeah, the sandy beaches in the South China Sea.
But you survived and made it home.
Lucky. I was lucky. I was real fortunate.
And Mick, you stayed in until about 1971, and you come from a family of veterans, a big family of veterans.
Yes, my dad came from a family of 15 children, 11 boys and 4 girls. And out of the 11 boys, 10 all joined the service. They were veterans. And the one uncle that couldn't join had polio, but he worked at the barber plant down in Homewood Field.
And I understand there's a street named after your family over on the east side in St. Paul.
Yes, my dad, my grandfather settled down. They were migrant workers picking sugar beets up in Red River Valley, and then he got a job at down in St. Paul there. So we settled on the east side, and everybody went to Johnson High School and raised on by Payne Avenue. And the city council recognized that the great service they had gave to their country for my grandma and grandpa. So they named the Gary Street right off of Payne Avenue.
We'll have to get over there and see that, Mick. Now, I understand you and I have something in common. We both belong to the Disabled American Veterans, the VFW, the American Legion, and the Vietnam Veterans of America. Tell me, that means we've been busy, I guess, but how did you get to get through the chairs of the DAV of Minnesota?
Well, I got my roots in the VFW, and I went through the chairs there and I became a 4th District Commander. And things came up and I couldn't continue on with the state officers there at the VFW at the time. So when I joined the DAV, I seen what kind of great organization it was and the camaraderie around the members. So I decided to go through the chairs. I became a chapter commander. And then I went through the chairs, first junior vice, senior vice, and now as commander. It's just a great opportunity, and it's a great organization. I just kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah, Mick, that year that you were commander that just ended came and went pretty quick.
It was quick. I realized it when I was at the convention, and they voted on Saturday. I go, wow. That was quick.
It's over already. But I'm sure you're, there's some more duties for you helping out with the DV.
Oh, yeah. You don't disappear. You hang around. If there's anything that the commander and the officers need, I'm right there down here in this area.
We're speaking with Mick Aguirre, the immediate past department commander for DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Mick, when you look back at that year, what stands out the most?
Well, just the different projects that the DAV was able to do with our different fundraising. And we got over 19,000 members, men and women, in the DAV in the state of Minnesota. And they got 30 chapters that each go out in their community and help the veterans any way they can at no cost to the veterans. Anything we do for the veterans doesn't cost them a dime. The transportation, the filing their claims, the taking them outdoors, and all the different activities that we do. It never costs a veteran a dime, and we're just there looking to help them out. And we figure that's our God-given duty to take care of the veterans and their spouses and their widows.
Mick, you've done a great job of it. But one of the things I want to talk about today is you've got a partnership with the National Disabled American Veterans to help provide vans to provide transportation for our veterans to get to and from their medical appointments. Can you tell us how that works?
Yeah, Tom. If you ever go down the highway, you'll see a DAV van. They're taking veterans from their home to a nearest DAV medical center at no cost to the veteran. And those vans cost $60,000 a piece. Luckily, we've been getting a grant from our national where they pay $30,000, and our department from Minnesota comes up with another $30,000 or $32,000. And in the last 3 years, we bought 15 new vans and put them out in the state of Minnesota. So that's, roughly $150,000 a year that we get from our fundraisers and donors, and that's what we use them for in our transportation program. We give them to the VA, and they run them, they maintain them, but we provide volunteer drivers. And it's been a good relationship working with the VA as far as that's concerned.
Now, Mick, as I recall, you opened up the Iron Range by transporting veterans down to Duluth and then putting them on a bus and bringing them down to the Twin Cities in the last year. And your adjutant tells me that you're just putting a new van down in Nobles County that'll take veterans back and forth to their appointments in Sioux Falls. Is that right?
That's correct. We're trying to we haven't covered the whole state yet. We're limited by the vans and different locations. So we're looking to cover the state, and that's just another area that we finally found a bus and got a new one up there, and they found the drivers and the dispatchers, and it's going good, and we're looking forward to doing it in the southeast part of the county, state, and just helping the veterans, the more the merrier.
And you need drivers all over Minnesota.
Oh, that's correct, Tom. We're all volunteer drivers. We received an award last year. Our volunteer drivers put over 1.7 million miles on their vans, so we got an award from the National.
So, Mick, who qualifies to be a volunteer driver?
Anybody. You don't have to be a veteran. You just you can work 1 day, 2 days, 3 days a week. You name your time. You got to pass a physical, and then they do a driver background. But other than that, it's just how much time you want to give to the veterans.
So whether you're a veteran or a non-veteran, if you're healthy, you've got a driver's license, a clean driving record, you can put in some volunteer time to help transport our veterans that can't drive anymore to and from their appointments at the medical centers. And do you bring them here to the Twin Cities? You must also get them up to St. Cloud?
Yes. We got them. Every different area has got their own bunch of drivers. And we try to, every year we try to throw a little thank you dinner for each one, for each area. And we go around the state, just show them our appreciation. Like the one from Minneapolis, we took them on a boat ride down on the St. Croix. We take them and we get them a dinner and stuff. It's just a minute amount of our appreciation for how much they do for us and the veterans.
So if anybody wants to volunteer to be a driver, all they have to do is go to davmn.org and look at your website and look for the drivers, and they can volunteer that way.
Oh, that'd be great. That's what they got to do, Tom, and we're always looking. So anybody's out there just retired or just sitting around and you want to help the veterans out or the community as a whole, we're more than welcome to just call us up and we'll get in touch with you and tell you what you have to do.
So once again, if you've got the time, if you're healthy, you've got a clean driver's license, and you want to help veterans, go to davmn.org and you can sign up to be a volunteer driver. Mick, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I know there's a whole bunch of events coming up, and we want to talk about those.
That's right, Tom. Appreciate your time that you're letting me talk right now, but hope we cover a lot more.
Thanks, Commander. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we have a guest in the studio today who is the immediate past department commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Mick Aguirre. And Mick, this must be about the 15th time you've been on the show in the last year, isn't it?
I think I lost track, Tom. I appreciate all your invitations. I hope I did a good job.
Well, you've had a busy year. How many miles do you think you put on?
I was trying to check the car, and I think I'm pretty close to 30,000 miles this year.
But you had a fun year.
Oh, it was great. It was great meeting everybody from around the state.
A lot of activities, a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of chapters to check in with.
That's over 30 chapters spread all over the state. So driving from Bemidji down to Laverne, from Wilmer, Winona, all over the place.
Well, Mick, we want to get into some of the activities that you put on to help our disabled American veterans. And kind of while we're speaking, and might be over this weekend by the time some folks hear the show, there's a turkey hunt going on up at Camp Ripley.
Yeah, it's correct, Tom. I went up there last year, and they take the veteran, disabled veteran, they pair him up with a counselor, what do you call him, a guide, and they go out there and they set him up, and they got some beautiful birds last year on turkeys, and I was just surprised how much they really enjoy it out there.
So that's the spring turkey hunt up at Ripley?
That's correct, Tom.
And then there'll be some fall hunts coming up.
We got the big deer hunt coming up, and then we had the fishing trips and stuff like that. But the veterans really enjoy it. Coming from Minnesota, you grew up in the outdoors pretty much. And the guys, they just love getting back out there, even though some got some disabilities. But we got track vehicles, we got four-wheelers, we get them out there and they really enjoy themselves out in the woods.
Now, it's important to get them out in the fresh air and back out hunting and fishing and doing these things, and makes them feel young again, doesn't it?
Oh, it's great. You know, I'm speaking for myself, when I was in Vietnam, I just couldn't wait to get back and hear the crunch of the snow and see your breath in the air and stuff. I came back in March, and I said, I'm back in God's country now.
And we knew we weren't in God's country before that.
No.
On that little summer vacation after graduation.
That's true.
Mick, now I understand that there's a little 5K run coming up on the 20th of May up in St. Joe.
Yeah, that's our fundraiser. We use all those funds for our transportation out of the St. Cloud VA Medical Center. So that money stays there local, and it helps the veterans there in getting the transportation back and forth from St. Cloud VA.
Now, that 5K run's been going on for years. It's called the OGR, the Old Glory Run.
Yes, I'm not sure where it originated, but every year we held it. We used to hold it in Cold Springs, then last year we changed it to St. Joseph's. And it really was a good turnout, a lot of vendors, a lot of runners, and it really was real nice, and we hope we can repeat that again this year.
So, Mick, at davmn.org, if they go on there and then just look on the website, they can find all of these events that we're going to be talking about and have talked about.
That's correct, Tom. We've been updating our website just to stay current. And you go on there, and it's the easiest. You can look up anything you want.
Now, Mick, you have a number of fundraisers that you do each year, like the Old Glory Run, but you also have some clothing that you collect up. Can you tell us how that works?
Yes, the DAV is partnering with Savers, and we use the clothes that we get in those bins, and the people drop them off at the Savers stores. And the department gets the ones they drop off at the Savers stores, but all the chapters, they maintain the bins, they pick up the clothes, they bring them in the Savers, and they pay us so much a pound, and that's how the chapters use for their fundraisers. And we use that money to buy or purchase anything that a veteran would need, like he needs a walkway for his house, or he needs a new riding wheelchair. Anything that the veteran needs, we'll get it for him, that we use that fund from the Savers.
Now, if people have clothing they want to donate, I used to see DAV boxes around some places, but now do they just call in and you come pick it up?
Well, they do have that service. Department has a pickup service, but mostly we're still with the bins. And you can drop them off at the bins, or you can go to the store and say this is designated for the DAV, and they'll take us. They'll give us credit for that.
And then you just, it's outsourced, so there's another outfit that picks it all up for you, and you get paid by the pound.
Well, we have our own trucks that does it in the metro area here, and they're the ones that call you or send you a postcard. But the veteran, the chapters go out and they'll service the bins and bring it in.
Okay, we're talking to Mick Aguirre, the immediate past department commander of the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Mick, I understand that there's a fishing event coming up on June 2nd up at Camp Ripley called Trolling for the Troops.
Yes, and veterans get partnered up with a professional guide, and depending on the boat, they'll take one or two out each, and everything's provided for them. The gas, the bait, it's all taken care of. All the veteran has to do is show up, have a good time, get some fish, eat some fish, and come on back.
Now, if you're a disabled veteran here in Minnesota and you think you'd want to go up to Camp Ripley and participate in some of these hunts and fishing things, who's eligible and how do you go about it?
Well, there's a formal application you have to fill out, and we give priority to disabled veterans, but it's open to any veterans. And all you do is fill out the applications, and they go through them, and they try to get people that haven't gone yet, and they do it prioritize on their on how many people they need or what. But it's just a little formality to go through. But your chances are as good as anybody else is getting on there once you're on the list and fill out the application.
So if you're a veteran interested in participating in some of these events with the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, go to davmn.org and sign up. Mick, I know you've got an annual golf event coming up. It's a fundraiser and a fun way for a lot of sponsors to help support all your activities.
Yes, we do it down at the Wild, down there in our tournament on June 14th, and we've been raising pretty close to maybe $125,000 between sponsors, cart sponsors, people that golf, and then we have silent auctions. So it's been a good fundraiser for us, and we hope to continue it. And the Wild's a little tough course, but you're doing it for the veterans, so you got to buck up.
So that's June 14th at the Wild for the DAV Golf Classic. If you want to sign up for that, once again, go to davmn.org and help them raise some money to pay for those vans. Mick, as we started the show, we found out that your year was up and that the convention just happened. They elected a new Department of State Department Commander. Can you tell us about him?
Yeah, his name is Robert Sadores. He's a 72-year-old gentleman from up in Bemidji. And we kill him all the time of being about so far north of the tree line. And a great man, dedicated to the DAV. And we're just going to have a good year, and we're looking forward to all the things that he's going to do for the DAV.
And I would guess if we have a blizzard in the wintertime this year that you might be sitting in for him once or twice.
I plan on it. You know, with the weather being like in the roads, it'd be no problem. It'd be my pleasure to take a spot in certain areas.
Now, Mick, you've been at this for a year as the department commander. You've driven all over the state. You've learned probably a whole lot more than you maybe knew about all the things DAV does. Been a good year, Mick?
It's been a great year, Tom. I can't put in too much words how pleasure it was and how deeply I am in gratitude for the opportunity to do it this year.
You've got a great team over there, too.
Oh, you know it. They're the best. You get complimented whenever I go to a national event. Minnesota is held in high esteem.
And, Mick, one last question for all our listeners out there. Who's eligible to be a member of the DAV of Minnesota?
Anybody, if you're getting a compensation from the Veterans Affairs, you don't have to be rated at 10, 20%. And then even if there's zero, that they're going to put you on the list. And then if you're a Purple Heart, you're automatically, and if you're over 80 years old, it's free. And I think the most you have to pay is, well, for somebody of my age or your age, Tom, is about $185. I'm sorry, but yeah, just go around the DAV or call up the office or look on the website, and the rules in there and eligibility. So we're always looking for new members, and it's just a great way to go. DAV, I know there's other veterans organizations, but this is the best one that I found.
And if they join, that doesn't mean they have to write checks. It means they can show up and volunteer, or they could just simply add their name to the list of people that you carry with you when you go up to the state capitol and talk about veterans issues.
That's what it's all about, Tom, numbers. The politicians understand numbers. When you come up there and say, I got 19,000 and more DAV members, they listen. And he said, we're watching you, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire, and we'll see how you vote. So don't.
Mick, it's been a pleasure talking to you this year, and we hope to have you on the show next year and get more updates on the DAV of Minnesota.
Well, thank you, Tom. I just let's say my pleasure working with you this year, and you and your staff, they make my heart soar like a hawk.
Thank you, Mick. That was Mick Aguirre, the immediate past department commander of DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We're going to learn about the Memorial Day Challenge coming up. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the Memorial Day Challenge event. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The Adult Day Center, located in Building 4 on the Minneapolis Veterans Home campus, is a veterans-based community that allows participants to connect with other veterans in a safe, comfortable environment. The Adult Day Center allows participants to achieve the highest attainable level of physical, mental, and social well-being with the independence of living at home. It also provides much-needed respite and a full array of support services for veterans caregivers. This is the second program of its kind in the country to be opened by a state veterans home and the first to be housed in a historic building, and we're very proud of this. Eligible veterans, spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents will enjoy a unique program that provides much-needed respite to their caregivers during the day. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Memorial Day Challenge is Pat Crosby, who is the president and CEO of CrossFit, SISU, and the Memorial Day Challenge. Pat, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Pat, I understand you come from a military family.
I do. I was raised by a couple of Marines. Both my mom and my dad were both Marines. Grandfather was in the Navy, and I'm the first child to not actually go into the military.
I guess it's a Marine Corps show today. We had Commander McGeary on here before. He's from the Marines, and now your parents, and you look like you could be in the Marines. It must have something to do with CrossFit.
It does. CrossFit definitely has been a vital part of my background, for sure.
Pat, you're here today because we want to talk about the Memorial Day Challenge, and it's based on a workout that's referred to as the MRF. And here's what my research shows. The MRF is a CrossFit tradition that honors an American hero, Michael Patrick Murphy. Murphy was a United States Navy SEAL lieutenant who was awarded the United States military's highest decoration, the Medal of Honor, for his actions during Operation Red Wing in Afghanistan. Lieutenant Murphy was an avid adherent of CrossFit. After his death, one of his favorite workouts was named after him. This workout is now called the MRF. And Pat, how did you come across that workout and the history of Lieutenant Murphy?
Well, I think anyone that has ever been involved with CrossFit has probably done the MRF in some form, and anyone that's in the military has probably heard of the workout MRF, and I think the two are a natural fit together. The CEO of CrossFit actually trained some of the original Navy SEALs and some of the military in his early days with CrossFit methodology, and as you said, this was one of the workouts that MRF did during his downtime as part of the Navy SEALs to stay in shape.
I know you come from a military family, but where did you get the idea to turn the MRF into a fundraiser?
It was just kind of a calling that I had where I felt that the CrossFit community, if anyone knows much about it, is a very tight-knit community, and they're very purpose-driven people. And I just thought the idea to pull together a workout for someone as honorable as Lieutenant Murphy and create a fundraiser around it would be a worthy cause. And I guess my end goal is to just let everyone know that when the CrossFit community gets behind something, good things can happen.
And a fitting day to do it on Memorial Day.
It's a beautiful day. We've had rain or shine, but we're doing pull-ups and push-ups for sure.
So the people that participate, no doubt, are CrossFit enthusiasts because the MRF amounts to this: a 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and another mile run. Pat, I'm tired just reading that.
It's not for the faint of heart. It's definitely a tough workout. However, we do have ways that we can scale it. We had a military guy, a veteran last year, Derek Wida, who did it, and he was an amputee. and he did it on one leg and a pair of crutches, so it can be done. We've also have a parent and child division where people, couples or families are doing it with their children. So we can definitely scale the whole thing, and it's really about coming out and having some fun and supporting people on Memorial Day.
We're talking to Pat Crosby about the Memorial Day Challenge on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Pat, it's on Memorial Day. Where is it and what time?
It's a great question. This year, this is our fourth year we've been doing it. It starts 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and it's at the Commons Park in Excelsior, Minnesota, right in downtown Excelsior, right on the shores of Lake Minnetonka. So it's a great little location. We'll have some words from two-star General John Trost, who will be there, as well as we'll have a national anthem sung, and then we'll kick off our very first heat of athletes, which will be about 20 athletes at a time, run the course, and we'll run it throughout the day.
Now, for more information on this, you can either go to the website or Facebook, and it's under MemorialDayChallenge.com. Once again, Pat, how many people did you have last year, and how many are you expecting this year?
We've had, last year we had about 430 people complete and pay registration for this event. And this year we're about 20% ahead of where we were last year. So we're expecting about 500 people to come and pay and do this event.
So they must be starting all morning on the MRF.
You got as much time as you need to complete it. Much time as you need.
Now, where you start and where you hold the event, are there things to do for the family members that might not want to participate?
Yeah, there are. It's a great family event. We've got some sponsors. One of them, the Bros Clinic, is actually sponsoring with a bouncy house. So we'll have a thing for parents with kids to come and drop their kids. They can play there. We'll have some other fitness contests by Torque Fitness, one of our sponsors. It'll bring some equipment down. We'll have some contests going around that. That'll be pretty fun. We have the Minnesota Twins food truck will be out, so there'll be plenty of food to eat, and that's a pretty big draw with everything they have from the Twins Park. Other than that, it's a great event to come out and watch, cheer on athletes. Everybody needs a lot of encouragement to finish this thing.
So once again, to find more information, go to MemorialDayChallenge.com, and you can check out either the website or Facebook. And Pat, what is it for those that want to participate in the MRF? Is there a fee to participate?
There is a fee to participate. It's $50 to participate. It comes with a free T-shirt. So try to register online as soon as you can because we need to get that finished. The other way to participate is we have a donation link. You can just donate money, which would go towards a raffle to win a paddleboard. Then the third way, which is an easy way, it doesn't require writing a check, and that's just to register online and volunteer to come out. And there's plenty of opportunity to volunteer in many different areas.
So if they go to MemorialDayChallenge.com, they can click on register to enter the event. You still got room for plenty more, right?
We do. We sure do.
Yeah, or if you just want to donate straight up, there's a way to do that. And I'm assuming with that many people participating, you could use all the volunteers you can get.
We need a lot of volunteers. I think last year we had about 70 volunteers, and we're less than half of that right now. So go online and register to volunteer for sure.
So that's going to all happen on Memorial Day this year. And that morning, Pat, we're going to have a live show here at Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 from 6 to 9 a.m., and we're hoping you can call in at 6:30. I'm going to ask the chaplain to make sure you get as good a weather as possible, and you can give us an update on all the festivities from the event. Once again, where is it going to be held?
It's going to be Excelsior, Minnesota at the Excelsior Commons at the park right on the shores of Lake Minnetonka. I was told that there will be a couple of Navy SEALs from SEAL Team 5 that will be coming in to do this event.
Now, is there plenty of parking out there?
There's plenty of parking. The city works with us on parking there, so the meters may be enforced. We don't really know, but
so if they just get close, there'll be signs and people to direct them where to park. And if you bring the family, there's going to be food and beverages available and some other fun things to do.
Yes, definitely a family event. Bring a football, throw around. The park is huge, so there's lots of room for everyone to move around in the park. It's a wonderful event, great family event.
So this is the Memorial Day Challenge on Memorial Day that morning. More information at MemorialDayChallenge.com. On the website or the Facebook, you can go there to register, sign up to participate, which fortunately I'm going to be on the radio that morning, Pat,
of course.
I'm not going to come out and do that. Or you can donate or you can volunteer, and I hope you get a big turnout. Pat, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Memorial Day Challenge. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Pat Crosby, President and CEO of CrossFit SISU and the Memorial Day Challenge. And the Memorial Day Challenge is in its fourth year, and it's a fundraiser based on the life of a military member referred to as the MRF, and a workout named after him. The MRF is a CrossFit tradition that honors an American hero, Michael Patrick Murphy. Murphy was a United States Navy SEAL lieutenant who was awarded the United States military's highest decoration, the Medal of Honor, for his actions during Operation Red Wing in Afghanistan. Lieutenant Murphy was an avid adherent of CrossFit. After his death, one of his favorite workouts was named after him. This workout is now called the MRF. And Pat, I want you to tell me, how did you personally get involved in this? Where did you hear the MRF, and how did you think about turning that into a benefit to help some charities?
Well, I think it's probably two things. One, my involvement in CrossFit. For those that don't know, CrossFit was really born out of the military. A lot of the workouts we do are named after fallen heroes, and the MRF happens to be probably the most popular one that most CrossFit gyms do on Memorial Day. I think that coupled with the need to raise money for veterans, I just felt a calling to put something together where if everyone's doing it, why not try to raise some money and do some good? And, you know, my goal is to just pull the CrossFit community together and do something that's beneficial to all veterans.
And Pat, which charities will benefit from this event this Memorial Day?
We've partnered with two charities this year. One is called The Next Objective, and they work with veterans specifically for those that can't afford health memberships or those that might be homebound and unable to leave their home. So they'll provide fitness memberships and fitness equipment for their homes, which was a natural alignment for us. And then also we're partnered newly for the first time this year with Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And they work with veterans where they might be in service, and they work with families that are back home here that might have financial needs for whatever reason.
So they provide emergency financial grants for families of those that are deployed.
Exactly, exactly. I think the important thing to point out, though, is we're very adamant about finding charities that all the money will stay in Minnesota, so none of this money leaves. And our goal this year is to donate up to $40,000 in money to both these charities.
So for all your CrossFit enthusiasts or all the athletes in town that might want to help raise some money for these causes, you can go to MemorialDayChallenge.com, and you can either go there to register to participate in the event, make a donation, or register to be a volunteer, because Pat needs volunteers, right?
We need volunteers.
And for those athletic people in town that want to go out and have a mild workout, the MRF consists of a 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and another mile run to finish it up. And I don't know, Pat, that doesn't sound like a good morning to me, but for your people, that's probably just getting started.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we take actually walk-up traffic also. I think last year at the event, we had 20 people walk up on the event that day to register and sign up for the event. So it was really cool. So I'd encourage you to sign up earlier. That way we can guarantee you get a T-shirt in your size. But if you want to walk up that day and do it as well, you can certainly do that too.
Pat, those 20 people sound like their buddies challenged them to do the MRF and see if they could finish.
They might have. We do have an elite division that elite male and elite female to make things a little bit more difficult, because MRF, he would wear a weighted vest to do this. So we have the men wearing 20-pound weighted vests and women wear 14 in the elite division to try to compete for prizes as well.
And of course, as a Navy SEAL, he would do those type of things. Now, I hope you've got some family activities, but I hope you've got some medics standing by too.
We do have a medic standing by for sure. So far, we've had no injuries. No one gets hurt. Might be some tears here and there, but maybe some hurt pride, but no injuries so far.
Now, Pat, that morning, retired Major General John Trost is going to be out there and help you with festivities. So don't hurt him.
We won't hurt him, and it's a great honor. He's going to be there. I've spoken with him a few times, and he's fantastic, fantastic guy, and he'll have some great stories to tell on Memorial Day before we kick this whole thing off.
Pat, we're just about out of time. It's the MemorialDayChallenge.com, You can check it out on the website or the Facebook, and it's located where, once again?
It's in Excelsior, Minnesota, just outside of the Twin Cities, at the Commons Park, right on Lake Minnetonka. Got a beautiful run. It's a one-mile run around the park. Part of it's through water, so you do have to go about knee-deep in water, so you will get wet, because that's what Murph would do.
And what time does it all start on Memorial Day morning?
8 o'clock.
8 a.m., all right, and we'll talk to you on the radio on our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio at about 6:30 that morning and see if you're up and raring to go, and hopefully we'll have some great weather. Pat, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great honor.
This is Pat Crosby of the MemorialDayChallenge.com. Go to that website and register to participate or volunteer today. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for inviting me back.
Director, every time I come out and visit the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, looks better and better.
Thank you. We've had some good construction projects and some good improvements, and fortunately for us, some of them are coming close to an end, and so our nice walkway between the ramp and the hospital, June 21st, we're targeting to cut a ribbon there. So they're reaching completion, which is good. I'm getting tired of wearing this hard hat all the time.
Sir, we heard in the news in the last week or so that the new VA secretary is planning to close 1,100 underutilized or unused buildings. Do we have any of those in Minneapolis?
You know, I think the short answer is no. You know, the longer answer, Tom, is that, you know, there are just a lot of underutilized or really unused buildings in the VA's inventory. And so what Secretary Shulkin is attempting to do is to be a good, responsible steward and get rid of some of those. You know, he's estimated it to be about $25 million worth of, you know, resources that we're spending on buildings that we're not using. And so, you know, here there we have a couple older buildings over at Fort Snelling. There's an old gas station, an old guardhouse. Some of those things are probably on his list. But, you know, those are historic buildings, and those won't be shuttered. And so I think there will clearly be nothing that will impact health care. There may be some older buildings that had some other use at one time. But, you know, as you know, we have converted several buildings over at Fort Snelling for a variety of purposes, you know, the old cavalry stables and others, to put them to good use for veterans housing or for some clinical services. But, you know, I think that in Minneapolis, and in St. Cloud, certainly, there will not be any impact on clinical services whatsoever.
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of projects since we've had you on the show, sir, and things look pretty good out there. Director, I saw another story in the Star Tribune last week about VA pain research. And I'm not sure our listeners, we're now on over 40 stations all over Minnesota, are aware that the VA does research.
Yeah, so one of the three missions that we have here in Minneapolis, the very obvious thing that we provide is clinical services to our veterans, 103,000 veterans that are enrolled with us. But we also have a significant and very important research and then a training mission as well. You know, we train a lot of doctors and nurses and others from the University of Minnesota and other schools around the metro area. Research, you know, we have a large budget. We have about $25 million that we spend every year, and most of our research is focused on issues of interest to veterans, you know, dementia, pain services, post-traumatic stress. And specifically last week, we had our annual research day, and one of our really smart physicians presented on the on pain management. And the shortened version of her study was that, you know, opioids were no more effective in reducing pain in our veteran population than our other, non-narcotic alternatives. You know, so think of things like Aleve or maybe, you know, aspirin, you know, or those kinds of ibuprofen, which have many fewer side effects, but were demonstrated in her study, Dr. Krebs's study, to be equally effective in treating veterans. So there's a lot of research that still needs to be done on that, and there hasn't been very much research in the area of chronic pain, but Dr. Krebs's study was presented last week and has been very well received and widely received in the professional circles. And so that's just one example of how VA research can make a difference.
And, Director, we're thrilled to learn every month we have one of your specialists or your doctors or your researchers on the show, and we learn more and more about what's going on there every month. So that's been terrific.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that, Tom. That means a lot to us, and I think it's important for your listeners to know some of the other things that are less obvious but that are also important type of work that the VA does.
Director, I understand you've got a little fitness challenge coming up this week.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, the 17th, we're holding what will be our seventh annual VA 2K walk, which is largely around the hospital here, and we have a lot of our staff and service organizations and others participating. Anybody who's available is welcome to attend, and what we do is, you know, again, we walk around the perimeter of the facilities, and we are seeking, and we get a lot of donations for our homeless veterans, things like backpacks and T-shirts and, you know, sweatpants and hoodies and all that kind of stuff that that our homeless veterans can benefit from. And so that's next Wednesday. It's Wednesday on the 17th, and usually pretty well-attended event. Let's hope the weather holds.
Director, we've just got a few seconds left, but I wanted to ask you, we've heard with the new administration coming in that there was a hiring freeze, and you and I have talked in the past about the need for doctors and nurses and staff. Are you hiring, and do you still need some nurses?
Yeah, so we always need doctors and nurses, and we are always sort of in an open recruitment for doctors and nurses. Fortunately, with respect to the hiring freeze, Secretary Shulkin for the VA was able to lift that freeze for clinical positions, and subsequently now all of the VA positions have been granted relief from the hiring freeze. So the VA is doing pretty well. I mean, we had to pause on some of our administrative roles, but we're now back hiring those. But yeah, any of your nurses out there, physicians who are listening, we're always recruiting, sort of actively recruiting nurses and doctors of all varieties. So thank you for giving me a chance to talk about that.
Director, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Mick Aguirre, the immediate past department commander of the DAV of Minnesota. Pat Crosby from the Memorial Day Challenge. Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Minnesota's own Veterans for Veterans and meet many of the people that they've helped. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.